Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I enjoy that. He's worthy. He's righteous. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he was going higher and higher. Hallelujah, we're lifting him higher. Hallelujah, I love that. I want to first welcome everybody to 3CLA. Thank you for joining us here at our location in Long Beach. And also, we are welcoming those who are joining us via iChurch from our website, streaming live in English and in Spanish. And today, we are streaming live on Facebook. So we welcome our Facebook friends to the service. Hallelujah. This technology is just incredible. We have men's prayer every Thursday night at 6:30. And last week, we just started Skyping in other brothers to the prayer on Thursday night. It's incredible how many people we can reach with this, and so that is a blessing. Turn into, in your Bibles or your electronic devices, to John, the 14th chapter. Yohanan, if you are a Hebrew scholar. We love studying here. We are the Church for Truth Seekers. We seek truth. It's not about religion. It's not about tradition. It's not about denomination. It is about the truth. And so, do I have any other truth seekers here in the house this morning? Hallelujah. We're seeking truth in His Word. So we love the Hebrew. We know that that is where the truth is found, the Greek. And here at 3CLA, we use the original name of the Savior, Yeshua. The name that means He will save, He will deliver, He will rescue. And His very purpose is what His name is. And so we acknowledge that. And so we've been talking about walking in the greater works. You know, I don't know about you, but life is about elevation. We keep moving higher, you know, higher in effectiveness. We're moving higher in knowledge. We want to live better lives. We want to be better examples of the kingdom. One of the things that we're talking about in Bible study is, who are you? Wednesday night. You know, a lot of times if we were to ask you, who are you? You would say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay, does your life line up with that confession? You're telling me what you know, the Word says you are, and hallelujah! I'm glad that you know what the Word says about you. But you should be living at that level. And being honest enough to say, you know what, I'm a work in progress. But I need you, Yahweh, so that I can achieve that status of everything that you said that I am. I need your help in getting there. And you know what? He's going to help you if you submit yourself to Him. So here we're talking about the greater works, and there's more stuff that we can do for the kingdom. And when we look at the 14th chapter of John, Yohanan is the Hebrew name, the 12th chapter, and it says this simply, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to my Father. So he's saying there's some business that needs to be transacted, and you're going to have to use my name to do it. And you're going to have to believe, first of all, you got to know my name. And then you have to believe in what I'm telling you that happens when you do use my name. It has all the power and all the authority, right? And so he's saying, if you believe, something's going to happen. The works that I do, you're going to do also. So we found out what, in the Greek, what does greater work mean? So we found out that greater can be two different words. It could be megas or meson. Because listen, if somebody says you can do something greater, how are we going to do that? I mean, how can we compare to what Yeshua's done? I mean, he's raised the dead, he's healed the sick. I mean, what are we going to do, right? Where do we fit in? So a lot of times we adopt apathy, where it's like, well, I don't think I can achieve it, so, you know, I don't care. I'm not going to do anything. We can't do that. Because he expects us to work. So we got to have clarity on what that means. And so the meson means to a greater degree. Megas means the greatest. Well, guess what? Give me a sigh of relief, because he's not asking you to be megas. He's not asking you to go above him. He's the greatest. But he's saying the things that I've done, you're going to do it to a greater degree. And we got to find out what that greater degree is. So we understand that we're meson. The other part of it, the thing we need to understand, is that work. Work means ergos. Ergos is the deed and action that carries out or completes an intention or a purpose. So he's expecting us to fulfill a purpose. Us? Tell your neighbor, me? Yep. He's expecting you. Well, you're the one supposed to build a purpose. You're the pastor. No, he's called y'all. Tell your neighbor, he's called you for greater work. But my God, what could the work be? Intentions. Well, if you stay in him long enough, he'll show it to you. You stay in him long enough, he'll speak it to you. Now, I'm going to let you off the hook one more time, because there are other things. A lot of times when you are trying to find out what he is saying, you need to know what he's not saying. And guess what? He did not call you to do greater miracles. There's a word for miracles. Say, there's a word for miracles. The first word for miracles is semion. Say semion. That means a sign, a miracle, an indication, right? So he said greater works. He did not say greater miracles. Because you got some people going around saying, oh, we're going to do greater miracles. We're playing with snakes and doing all kinds of stuff. Didn't say that. He said you were going to do a greater work. And there's another word for miracles, dunamis. Say dunamis. Now that is miraculous, wonder, working power. You're not going to have greater power than him. He's giving you his dunamis. You can't do nothing without his dunamis. He's not going to give you a dunamis that's higher than him. The devil tried to do that. The devil said, hey, I'm going to exalt myself above the throne. He's not asking you to do that. So say, whew. He's not expecting you to do greater miracles than him. He said a greater work. That means you're going to work to a greater extent. And so what we're trying to do is find out what that means. So if you put it together, let's see what Yeshua says. Yeshua is saying this, greater works. He's saying you will do ministry more extensively than me. Not greater miracles, but the ministry will be to a more extensive degree. So your job is to find out, then what is it? What can I do to a more extensive degree? Ask him right now. See, that's the problem. Ain't enough people asking him. What can I do to a more extensive degree? Say, it's not miracles. So he's not asking you to do greater miracles. But he's trying to show us and speak to us what he's expecting of us. Go to Mark. Hallelujah. What is this ministry? What is this work? And that's what we've been trying to find out. So I'm going to open up a couple of things while we are here. The Mark, the 16th chapter, and we're going to go to the 15th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. Mark 16, 15, the Gospel of Mark. And he said unto them, to his disciples, go ye into all of the world and preach. Don't get caught up by the word preach. He's not saying you got to go behind an altar or a microphone and say, ha ha. Ha. And God. Have you heard that? He's not asking you to do that. He's just saying preach means proclaim. Tell of your experience. Guess what? When you tell your testimony, you are proclaiming the gospel. What he did for you. If he delivered you from drugs and alcohol, you're proclaiming. If he delivered you from depression, you're what? Proclaiming. If you almost took your life and you were seconds away because of the anxiety and the stress, and he stepped in and swept you from the fire, you're proclaiming that. And I'm just asking, is there anybody that has a testimony of rescue, that has a testimony of deliverance? If you have that, tell your neighbor, tell it. Tell it. Well, I want to keep my business. When Yahweh's done something for you, it's not your business no more. It's his business. That's a business. That's a work that we've transacting. Stories of power. Stories of deliverance. Stories of that he rescued you. He saved you. He picked you up and transformed you. That's his story. That's his work. You can't sit on that. Well, I don't want people to look at me funny. What? They're looking at you funny if you stayed in that condition. But to the glory of Yahweh, he's changed you from that position. Not what you used to be no more. So he's saying, go into all the world and preach, tell the gospel. You're telling about your testimony, but it's connected to the gospel. The problem is that we have gotten away from what the gospel is. Many preachers have turned the gospel into their own. The gospel is of prosperity. The gospel is, thus saith, getteth your Mercedes-eth. Get your Rolls Royce. Get your mansions. Get your money. That's not the gospel. He didn't die for that. But people are making up their own gospel. They're making up their own teaching, which we call doctrine. You can't live by that. Guess what? That don't last. And some people think they blessed because their bank account got a couple of zeros on it. Well, I guess it takes more than a couple of zeros. You got to have a what? At least five. No, you got to have six. And you got to, yeah, you got to have at least six. But he's saying, no, that's not my gospel. You got to Tell everybody, every opportunity. So what is the gospel? The gospel is this. The gospel is the good news of the coming of the kingdom of Yahweh and the salvation that is available through Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection to restore man's relationship with Yahweh. Boom! That's the gospel. And a lot of times we get distracted on all kinds of mess instead of focusing on, tell your neighbor, this is what it's all about. This is the gospel. Good news. If you stay in the state that you were in, that's bad news. So if you encounter somebody that's not living to what Yahweh has said, tell them, hey, guess what? I see you're living beneath where you should be living. I got some good news for you. And guess what? You got to be excited about the good news. Well, girl, I got something to tell you, but I don't know if you're going to receive it or not. Do you sound excited about the good news? That sounds like bad news is coming. Is anybody excited about the good news? Because it's going to take good news. So we have lost track of how dynamic that good news is. If we really grabbed hold of the good news of what this means, hey, guess what? The kingdom of Yahweh is coming. That's what? Good news. Hey, guess what? You are living in sin. And Yeshua came that he died for your sin that you're living in. If you just receive him, there's salvation for you. I know. Guess what? That's what? Good news. Hey, you know what? He died and he was buried, but it doesn't stop there. He was resurrected with the power in his hand. Hey, guess what I'm trying to tell you? His resurrection is what? Good news. It's something that had never happened before. And Yeshua was the first one to do it for you. Say, he did it for me. That's what you're supposed to tell. You're supposed to tell the good news. And so he says this. You got to tell that news to every creature. Well, he want me to tell the dogs and the hogs and the frogs? No! The creature are people before they have been transformed. Guess what? You used to be a creature. You did all kinds of filthy, messed up, scandalous, ratchet stuff. But you were living to the flesh. You were a slave to the flesh. But by the glory of Yahweh, he delivered you from them chains. And guess what? You a new creature. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything is brand new. Who wants some brand newness? I want brand newness. So that's what he was telling him. Tell it to every creature. And a lot of times we don't want to talk to people. We don't want to tell people. Why would you not do that? Why would you not deliver the good news? Guess what? There's a whole lot of bad news going on in this world today. A whole lot of bad news. But he came that we would have some good news to tell him. Anybody remember The Wiz? And there was a song in there. And she said, don't nobody bring me no bad news. Tell your neighbor, no bad news. No bad news. Don't bring me no bad news. Because any bad news that you bring me, guess what? I got the good news that's going to turn your bad news to good news. We got an answer. So that's what he's talking about. 16 verse says what? And y'all got to excuse me. When we talk about the things that Yeshua has done, I get excited. And it's simple. There's so much available to you if you only believe. Say believe. You got to believe this. He that believeth and is baptized. You shouldn't get baptized if you don't believe it. It's got to be real to you, right? You got to believe it first. And if you believe it, then you're what? Baptized. You shall be saved. Guess what? But he who believeth not, I got some bad news for you. If you don't believe, I got some bad news for you. See, the good news is only for the folk that believe. The benefits of that. Bad news, you shall be damned. So 17th verse says what? And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. Next verse says what? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing. And I clarify, did you guys get the clarity that I gave you the last couple of weeks on taking up serpents? You don't play with snakes. This does not mean you play with snakes. It means that if you encounter, while you're doing my work and my will, if you encounter snakes and scorpions on the way, because to get the good news to people, they didn't have no internet. They didn't have no cell phones. They didn't have no roads. You have to go take that gospel on foot. And some of y'all don't even want to walk to the corner. Got people that drive right around the corner. Why don't you just walk? Get in the car and drive. I need some people to turn on the navigation to just get somewhere that they already know how to go. What you doing that for? We've turned into a lazy generation. Yeah. We don't work nothing out, you know? Good gracious. My daughter, she's gonna turn 10 next month. And I can't believe it. Man, she getting old and I'm getting old. So 10 years old. Daddy, I want a phone for my birthday. All the kids have phones. My friends have phones. My cousin has phones. Thanks a lot. So I'm like, why do you need a phone? I mean, justify that for me, please. Well, I can find out how you're doing. What kind of phone? I need an Apple phone. Why do you need an Apple phone? Because it has Siri. And when I ask Siri a question, she can give me the answer. So the kids even know, oh, she's like, Siri, what is 5 divided by 2? And guess what Siri says? The answer is 2.5. So kids, Do they even know how to use calculators anymore? Computers, Siri. Then I gotta give her a Google Chrome notebook for the class, because all the class got Google Chrome notebooks and pads and everything. What happened to writing? When I was in school, they had what was called a slide rule. At first, you didn't have no calculator. You use different kind of stuff. So stuff now, you don't even have to think anymore. Everything thinks for you. It's crazy. But in those days, they didn't have that. They had to go somewhere. They had to walk somewhere. So that's what we're saying. They encountered obstacles. And he's saying, if you encounter obstacles, you're going to be cool because I got you. You don't have to be afraid of the scorpions. You don't have to be afraid of the serpents because I got you. You don't have to be afraid of the spirits that would try to come against you because I got you. They had to drink water and stuff. And guess what? You guys are drinking your Evian and your Perrier. But they had to get dirty water from the stream. Anybody from the a rural beginning where you had to get your water from the stream or from a well? Apostle, was that water clean?
It was running water.
It was running water. Yeah, well, guess what? They had dirty water sometimes, and they didn't know where it was what? Coming from. So he said, if you drink any deadly thing, I got you covered. Right? So all the things that you will encounter. So today, any obstacles that you will encounter while you're doing his business, he's saying, I got you. You can go to the rough neighborhood. I got you. Right? As long as you're in me. Now listen, don't go out there doing your own funky thing. He ain't got you at the hotel and the motel. He got you when you're doing his work. Come on. And this is what he's saying. So this is what we're talking about. Okay, so jump ahead. Yeshua's saying, to do the greater work, you need to understand the work. See, I got greater work for you, but you need to understand my work. And even his boys, even the disciples that he was hanging out with, did not completely have a concept of his work because there was a conversation that went on. Let's go to the Gospel of John, Yohanan, in the 16th chapter. And Yeshua was trying to say, listen, they saw him do miracles. They saw him healing the sick, raising the dead. They saw him encounter all kinds of things. And he was demonstrating to them. And when we go to Yohanan in the 16th chapter, he was having a beautiful conversation with his disciples, trying to prepare them for what was getting ready to happen. So this was a conversation that happened not too long before be offered up and arrested and go through the whole process of having to die on the cross. And so he's sitting with them and he says, 16, the seventh chapter, you got it, say, got it? Yeah, 16th chapter, Yohanan and John, 7th verse. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. What? What are you saying? It's expedient. Well, the meaning of expedient is sympharo. And expedient means circumstances or results that benefit or are profitable. Yeshua, you're walking with us. You're teaching us. How is it better for us that you go away? He's saying, if I go away, there's going to be a better situation for you. How can that be? For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, will not come unto you. So, if I go, there's going to be a better situation for you. And if I go, then the Comforter can come. But if I don't go, he can't come. What is he saying? There's something coming that is so powerful, that is so dynamic, that is so incredible that me and him can't be here at the same time. If we occupy this world space, the world just will blow up. It cannot handle my power and the Holy Ghost power, which is the same, but it's woo, woo. It's woo. Somebody say woo. Woo. I mean, he was like, listen, if I stay here, he can't come. This world can't handle both of us. It's too much power. But if I depart, if I leave, guess what? I will send him, right? So he can come. And if he comes, you're going to be in a better situation. So already we see that he's setting us up for the greater work.
He's saying, yeah, I did some stuff, but I got to go so you can do even greater stuff. And for you to do that, the Holy Ghost got to come. And I have to go. You may not like it. You may not understand it, but I got to go. And when I go, I'm going to send it, right? And so I will send them unto you. I was having a conversation about three things, and you can write this down. There are essential things. What are essential things? Things that you cannot do without. You must have them. Essential. And he's setting us up for the essential things. Then there are things that are important. They are important, but they're not essential. And then you have some things that are interesting, but they're not important. Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection are essential to your salvation. You gotta believe that, because that is the what? Say it loud. That is the what? The gospel. And the gospel is what? The gospel must be taught. That is his death, burial, and resurrection. Say that is essential. Guess what else is essential? The Holy Ghost. He's saying this, you gotta have this power to be able to operate in me and transact my business. You got my name and you got the Holy Ghost. It's essential. Say it's essential. Third thing, his name. Is his name important or is his name essential? Because he's saying you'll be able to do these things in my name. Right? Okay, so understanding that. What's an example? Okay, I gave you the example there. Some things that are important. Now, it's essential to have the Holy Ghost. Now, if you operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and know this, Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, 3CLA, 4CI, all the churches, we teach the essentialness of the Holy Ghost. And we also teach that it is important for the gifts to operate in the services. So if you happen to be here for worship, you saw that a tongue went forth and there was an interpretation of the tongue. So the gift of the public speaking of tongue went forth and the interpretation of that went forth to edify the body. There was a word that went forth that said, you gotta love one another. That is an essential word. And the Holy Spirit is moving and operating. See, it's not just enough to have the Holy Ghost. You got to let the Holy Ghost move. You can't keep the Holy Ghost in a box. You got to let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost does best when he's moving. He does his perfect work when he's what? Moving. So don't think we crazy. We're just a church that believes in the book of Acts and the things that happen all through the Gospels. I don't want to just go to church and be like, oh, what friend we have. And sat down and ain't nothing going on. Ain't nothing moving but the fans. I want to go somewhere where, hey, you feeling the Spirit move and something is said and come on, the hands are raised. Some people don't like this church. Y'all too loud for me. I'm sorry that you feel that way. But we serve an awesome God and we all the way live up in here. You know, if I want to go to a quiet church, I'll go to the library. But church, come on. All week long, I had to hang out with heathens and come on, somebody what I'm talking about. You working that job, you got all them heathens going on and folks that you should be converting, but that's another story. You know, and you dealing with all this foolishness. There's a party going on next door. The neighbor is doing it. You can't sleep, and you're dealing with all that stuff. And you know what? I just want a little peace. But when I come into the house of Yahweh, woo! I'm experiencing some peace. The Holy Ghost is moving. The choir is singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Teresa. Her worship is going forth. Devin, I love your presence. Come on, we can bow down and we can worship. And then the atmosphere, then the room just is filled with the presence of Yahweh. And then the gifts start moving and operating. And someone is unctioned to speak. And then somebody's unctioned to interpret. And then it's spoken and we understand. And we're edified. And we're thanking Yahweh that he cares enough about us to talk to us. I don't know about you, but I need a God that's moving. He's moving inside of me. He's moving inside of you. He's moving inside of here. So that's why we do what we do. And if you don't understand what we do, Google it. But I want you to understand the Holy Ghost is operating. And so he's saying, listen, I'm trying to send you something that's going to blow your mind. You'll never be the same again, right? And so the Holy Ghost is essential. Then there's some things that are important. Now, that you are actually the one that's moving in the gift, well, that's important. He said if you want the gift of tongues or if you want the gift of interpretation, you know, ask for it. But if you don't have it, it's... You got to have the Holy Ghost, but if you're not moving in those special gifts, which we're going to do a teaching on, so that you have a better understanding of that, it's not necessarily essential, but it's important. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to just have the standard salvation. I want to have give me the premium, upgrade me. Let me move and operate in some of the higher gifts. I want to do that, right? And so then you have things that are interesting. Now, there are a lot of things in the Bible that are interesting, but they're not essential. Guess what's interesting to me? The Nephilim. Those were the gods, half God, half man, from the angels that were left. I think that is interesting. I wonder, wow, I wonder how tall they were. I wonder, like, you know, what they did, you know? They were the fallen ones, but you know, it's kind of interesting. But guess what? It's not necessarily important because there ain't no half gods and half, you know, walking around today. Ain't no Goliaths. They come close. I think that's interesting, but what? You need to know what's important. And so he's saying here in the next verse, in the eighth verse, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you shall see me no more, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't. Man, I got some stuff that I could tell you, but you can't even bear it. You can't even comprehend. You can't handle it. There's some stuff coming to you just right now. You can't handle it. And so what is he doing when he says that? You can't bear them now, but guess what? You will. You can't bear them now. So it already starts. It already sounds like a greater work is beginning to manifest, right? Because he's saying, hey, I'm here and there's some stuff that can be done, but I'm about to tell you, I can't even tell you the stuff that's coming because you can't handle it. Tell your neighbor, but you will. 13th verse. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And guess what? He will show you things to come. So you're going to be operating on a whole nother level. See, you can only operate on a certain level because I'm here. But when I go, oh, I'm going to upgrade you. I'm about to show you something that's going to be incredible, right? So he's already setting us up. And the 14th verse, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it. So he's going to have, you're going to have the best of both worlds. He said, he's going to show you things of me. This, get this. But this is where the kicker comes in. 18. A little while. 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. Uh-oh. He's setting us up. He's saying, now you're going to have the Holy Ghost, but guess what? Something has to happen first. So let me give you a clue. In a little while, you're not going to see me. And then again a little while, you're going to see me. Because I'm going to be gone. But before I go, I'm going to show you something. And you're not going to see me. What is he saying? Sounds like he's setting us up for something. Tell your neighbor, something about to happen. Right? I mean, what is he talking about? And so if I was a fly on the wall, it sounds like he's setting us up for two events. Because you know what he's talking about, don't you? Before he go, he's got to do something miraculous. He's got to resurrect. Resurrection has never happened before. Well, Pastor Tom, you know, Yeshua raised people from the dead. No, 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 no. He raised people from the dead. He raised three people from the dead. Yeshua did, that I recall. Jairus's daughter. And he raised, I don't want to get, well, let's see. Let's go here real quick. The widow of Nain's son. Let's go to John 11th chapter. The widow of Nain's son, Jairus' daughter, and this dude that we're about to talk about right now. And the reason why I want to walk you through this is because there's a difference from rising from the dead and resurrection. What's the difference? John 11, Yohanan 11. So Lazarus, which was the third that he raised from the dead, Lazarus was dead 4 days. And it was like, man, you know, if you had gotten here, he wouldn't have died. But now he's been dead for 4 days. And then the earlier scripture says, and by now he stinketh. Say he was dead. And so the 23rd verse, Yeshua saying to Martha, your brother shall rise again. Not resurrect, but he's going to rise again. 24th verse. Martha said unto him, well, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, that may be true, but Yeshua said, guess what? 25th. I am the resurrection. Come on. You don't know exactly who you're talking to. You know he's going to come back in the resurrection, but let me tell you, guess who you're talking to? I am the resurrection. resurrection. I'm about to do something in a little bit. You ain't gonna see me. But then in a little while, you're gonna see me again. And then I'm gonna go to my Father. He said, I'm about to do something that's never been done before. I'm about to show you the power of the God, my Father. I'm about to show you something. See, Lazarus, when he rose him from the dead, yeah, he's alive again, but guess what? Lazarus has to die again. But I'm about to show you a situation where once you raise from the dead, you'll never die again. Does anybody want risen from the dead, or do you want resurrection? Tell your neighbor, I want resurrection. So he said, I am the resurrection. But guess what? And the life. There goes that B word again. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the key is this, 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. See, a greater work is about to happen, because when Yeshua was walking to death, when he raised people from the dead, they stayed dead. I mean, they rose, but guess what? They had died again. So guess what? Lazarus, yeah, he died, and he was 4 days, and then Yeshua came and what? Raised him, but guess what? Along the line, he was going to have to what? Jairus' daughter, he raised her from the dead, but guess what? Dame's son, he raised him from the dead, but he was going to have to what? He said, man, that's a pretty bad situation. Guess what? I got something better for you. I got what's called resurrection. And if you believe on me, when you come up, guess what? You stay up. When you go up, you stay up, and what? You are never coming down. And he told her, so whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this? He said, do you believe it? Even today, he's asking you, do you believe this? He's setting us up for a greater work. When Yeshua was walking the earth, he was just rising people from the dead. But he's saying, after I resurrect and the Holy Ghost come, anybody that comes to me will inherit eternal life. Do you believe this? And the next verse says what? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, which should come into the world. We're going to find out how he's setting this up, but I leave you with this. There is a greater work, and he's setting us up for that. He's saying, after I go, anybody that comes to me, though they die of natural death, they're going to come up in power spiritually, and they will never die again. That couldn't happen with Yeshua here. Sounds like he's setting us up for something. Well, my God, this is part of the good news. Well, guess what? It's your job to make sure that we find some dead creatures out there, spiritually dead. Share with them the gospel. Give them an opportunity to believe and receive. And guess what? When they go down in the waters of baptism, when they come up speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Ghost, they have something that they couldn't have before. They got eternal life. And they shall never die again. Do we have any recipients of eternal life? You got it. Father Abba, thank you for what you're revealing to us. We know that there's a greater work. We know that there's a greater move of you. We know that you have set something up for us that will transform us and change our lives. So right now, stir up in us the appreciation for what you've done. You did not have to do it, but you did it for each and every one of us. We want to be excited about you again. Some of us have lost that first love for you. You died for us. You died for us. You died for us. You died for us that we might have life eternal. You did that. Father, we thank you. We can't thank you enough. If we had 10,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough. So right now, stir up the joy of our salvation. We thank you. We praise you for that. And we're careful to give you all the glory and the honor and all of the praise. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Keep your hip out. Real quickly, I must do this. We're talking about eternal life here. We're talking about a transformation. We're talking about something that we can only get through our belief in you, our trust in you, our faith in you. So if there's anybody here that says, hey, I want this transformation. I want this new life. I'm hearing it. I believe it. And maybe there's some aspects that I don't understand, but I want to know more. I know that he's calling me higher. I know that he's calling me to relationship. And if you want that, we can pray for you. All you have to do is just raise your hand. Everybody bow your head. But if you want this, that person or persons, raise your hand and we can pray for you for that. You start that relationship today, today, today it starts. Next call, maybe you have had the relationship, but you're not as close as you used to be. You've drifted away and you know that he's calling you back. And if that's you, we can pray for you for restoration. He is a God that restores. And if you want restoration today, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for restoration, restoration. Hallelujah. That's one. Restoration, restoration. That's what he does. Two. Everybody keep your head bowed. Because this is the reason why we ask that you keep your head bowed, because the believer in the house should be interceding. And those that want change are given an opportunity to contemplate that. And the enemy likes to use tricks. He'll say, don't respond to that because people are looking. We eliminate that. Nobody's looking. If you raised your hand for any of those things, declare it, proclaim it by coming down here where I am, and we're going to pray together. Don't worry about anybody or anything. Just receive what he has for you today. And we're going to pray right now, hallelujah, that you receive everything that he has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sister.